And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday. As we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name first. Oh boy, here it comes. We're in Genesis. We're in Genesis and we're in chapter 3 and we're at the big moment. Here it comes where Satan tells Eve, when you eat the fruit, you'll become like God. Do you want to know the two technical elements of sin that Satan introduced? They are, number one, not surrendering to God as the king of the universe. And number two, attempting to be equal with God. Equality is a sin. Oh, say that on the airwaves. Equality is a sin when it's directed at God. And it is also a sin if Adam and Eve were to consider the animals as equal to them. That would also be a sin. Wow. Next, here comes the problem. Verse 6 says the woman was convinced. There it is. Being convinced by a lie leads people to take actions they shouldn't, which are contrary to God. Once Eve was convinced, she saw the fruit as something that looked delicious and it could make her wise. Once she convinced herself that it was okay to disobey God, listen, she began to see things differently. Wow. This happens, by the way, to everyone. Uh-oh. Finally, Eve gave the fruit to her husband, who was with her. Some theologians teach that Adam was somewhere on the North Pole while this was happening, which seems a bit unusual. He was close enough to Eve that she could simply bring the fruit to him, and he would eat it. The moment they ate it, their eyes were opened. However, their eyes were opened to the knowledge of darkness, too, and they felt ashamed. Like we said last week, no more innocence. Thus began the de-evolution of humanity. And that, my friends, is sad.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, so much more. So much more. Remember, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. And so we're asking you, what do you think? So I want to make sure people know that when Samson was on the phone and I had to hurry him up at the end of that segment, we do what we call a hard break. Whenever we're up against that time frame, that's when San Diego's going bye-bye, and then we're just here in Texas, so we got to do that as tight as we can. Nothing negative towards Samson or anything else. That's just how I got to do it. And that's when, if you call and I give you a time frame, that's your time frame. Okay, that's what you got, okay? Because I don't want to have to cut you off. Get what I'm saying? Okay. Now, having said all that, you now have plenty of time. The opportunity to share, to speak, to do whatever. You can, by the way, reach out to us in three different ways. You can email us, david@hemusincrease.org. That's david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back. Aww. Aww. that's so nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Decent weekend for you, sir. Was it a good weekend?
Yeah. Yep. Went well. Just relaxed at home for a couple days.
Relaxing and chillaxing then, huh?
Nice. Yep. Relaxing and chillaxing.
Very, very nice. Okay. So here's something I want you to be aware of. So I really feel impressed to talk about this just for a brief moment, and then we'll get into the rest of this. Samson made a really fascinating connection, and I know there's a lot of people that really understand it. He wanted to pray for abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, and spiritual abuse. For those that don't know, the entire book I wrote, Broken for His Glory, is about spiritual abuse, which then bled over to emotional abuse, okay? Pretty close to physical, but didn't get there. What I'm trying to tell you is that a lot of people have been hurt, and a lot of people have been wounded. But I'm also here to tell you that is not the end. In fact, on the website, even right now, is an 8-minute clip from last week about how God takes bitterness and turns it into happiness. He turns the bitter into a blessing. But it's hard when you're going through the bitter, and it's hard when you're hurt. But you must remember that God is the healer. And he is here. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. To heal those who are wounded and the brokenhearted. So if your heart's been broken, you're not done. There is somebody who loves you deeper than you can even fathom who wants to help you. He's there for you. Do not cast yourself down. He will heal you. You hear me? Okay. All right. So having said all that and done all that, I want to make sure you understand what we're doing with the opportunities for people to reach out by email, by text, or by phone. What's that all about? It's about this. It's about prayer requests. And if you got something going on and it's like, man, I need prayer for this. Cool. Let's pray. And why we pray, is that what's great is we don't have, it's got to be through this denominational group or this way. You know what we have? Jesus. You know what we need? Jesus. You know what we ask for help from? Jesus. You see how that works? Our Father. Blood relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ. We drink from one Holy Spirit. Everybody gets it. And most people in the entire world, by the way, less than they're Baptist or Pentecostal, are a little bit Baptist or Pentabaptist, whatever. It doesn't matter. Or a little bit in between. A little bit of Church of Christ, a little bit of Church of God. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. A little bit of Bible, a little non-denominational. A little bit ferocious, a little bit meek. All of it. That's us. We're the body of Christ. We're every part of the body. And have you noticed that there's different parts? The elbow does not look like your nose. Interesting. Isn't that funny? Your finger does not really look like your thigh that much. Maybe make a correlation there. I can tell you one thing for sure. This face doesn't look like anything else God would create, at least my face. I have a face for radio. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we'll pray for you. We'll bless you. We'll ask the Lord to encourage you because that's what we do. Because we want to encourage one another as we see the day of the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer, and it is. And we long to hear the trumpet. We long for this process. We look forwards to the new heavens and the new earth. We don't want an old bandaged one full of sin and decay. We want the new. Three times in scriptures. It teaches us to be the people that look for the new heavens and new earth. For those that claim to be Christians and have no idea what the Word of God says, you just got to know. They don't know. You want them to know, they just don't. So bottom line, prayer requests, praise reports. How beautiful. How beautiful to acknowledge God has done an awesome thing in your life. It reinforces you, yes. It blesses other people, yes, but it glorifies the Lord. Tell the people what's been done. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Absolutely. Maybe you got something going on, and you just want to share it. You got some insight. You know, I really understand I need to let this go or stop having this or stop dwelling in this place on this. And it's all those things are available. Maybe you have something you got. You might have a joke. I would caution you. None of my jokes are very funny, and if you tell your own joke, you get blasted the same way. We'll do a little bit of history, but we'll also do some Bible trivia. Here's your next Bible trivia, by the way. Let's see if you can get this correct or not. Genesis 8:20 is your reference. Make sure everybody heard that. Genesis 8:20 is your reference point. True or false, Moses built the first altar to the Lord. Genesis 8:20. True or false? True or false? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we will do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. It's just every day that ends in Y. Spend some time with the guy in the sky. How much time? I don't know. How do I do that? I don't know. I'll tell you how you do it. The best way to do it, get separated time from the Lord. I mean separated time. No distractions. As minimum distraction as possible. Go to bed 10 minutes later. Get up 10 minutes earlier. Do whatever you've got to do. You're thinking, well, what do you? Well, I need this amount of sleep. Let me just ask you this question. You believe in God, but you don't believe that if you offer him in sacrifice 10 or 15 minutes, he can't make it up to you physically in your body? That's low faith. That's pretty low faith right there, right? Okay, see what I'm saying? Okay, got it. Making sure everybody's on the same page. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. Like we said, every day that ends in Y. Spend some time with the guy in the sky. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. I'm telling you right now, I know you don't think it's happening, but it is happening in other countries. If you read the word of God out loud, you can be jailed. Wait. If you do it on your porch outside, you can be jailed. Yeah. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve,
which means that concentrating on the Lord is where it's at. It doesn't mean you don't care for yourself. It doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself. What it means is, in addition to yourself, add other people, other lives, other elements of people's lives into your life. Because number one, that's what Jesus commands. Number two, you'll have a much fuller life. And number three, you'll have a much fuller life. Seems like two and three are very similar. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Bless somebody and watch that blessing come back upon you by caring. Now, does that mean you have to talk to them directly? Not always. Maybe you're just praying for somebody. I don't know. It's not my job to tell God how to operate, how he operates. Just be ready to serve, to love, to honor, to pray for, to help out, because that's what the Lord wants us to be on a regular basis. Always prepared. Get it? Okay. That's the DNA. Back to our trivia question. You guys need to listen to this because we have some people that are not catching on. Genesis 8:20 is the reference. What did I say? I said, did I say Genesis 8:20? I just want to make sure that I've got Jacob hearing this with me. Did I say Genesis 8:20?
I believe so.
Genesis 8:20. That's the reference. True or false, Moses built the first altar to the Lord. True or false, Genesis 8:20. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I would appreciate prayer for my wife as she is a part of the Kroger, Tom Thumb, purchase, repurchase, dump people out of the company scenario. And we certainly hope that it goes well for us, but we will follow wherever the Lord leads and directs us to go. We understand that there's challenges to it and all, but there is full restructuring in my wife's company. That's always fun. That's always fun. You betcha. Okay. That's a little sarcasm there. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Great, let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Steven. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Steven. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good.
Trying to stay off the boat.
Trying to stay off the boat. All right, my friend. Nice setup, by the way. All right, here we go. We'll set it up. You hit it out for me, okay? Genesis 8:20. I just think that'd been the key, right? Genesis 8:20. Moses built the first altar to the Lord. True or false?
I think that's false.
It's false! Oh, my goodness gracious. See, Genesis. See, Mo wasn't around till Exodus. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I think Noah had to come off the boat to be able to build the ark.
That's exactly right, and that's where your first reference point is. Of course, you are brilliant with your, I'm trying to stay off the boat, Dave. Okay, got it. 100 points for you, sir. Excellent job.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you too, my friend. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We just like that. You might as well just enjoy it. That's how it is. We do 90 minutes of it, and we don't apologize for much. Some of it, but not much of it. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer. When you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know His Word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
Oh, welcome back. to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where it definitely does not feel like a Monday. I mean, I don't know. If there were Monday blues, they left. That doesn't mean that there's Monday reds or anything. I'm just saying that just doesn't feel like Monday blues left, you know? Okay. No moody blues going on today. See, that's funny because the band The Moody. Okay, never mind. Let's get to our next trivia question, true or false. Let's see if you guys can pick up on this one. This is out of Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. We encourage people to look things up, by the way. You don't have to just know because if you look it up, you rarely – I mean, that's when it really empowers into your brain and mind. Here it is. Listen to how I say it. You'll understand it. Okay, here we go. Remember? There were seven deacons in the time of Acts that were identified. Here's the question, true or false. Deacon Felix went to Samaria to preach the gospel. True or false? Acts chapter 8, verse 5 is your reference point. Acts chapter 8, verse 5 is your reference point. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You know, so text 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So the question's straightforward. Deacon Felix went to Samaria to preach the gospel. True or false? Acts chapter 8, verse 5. That's your question there. Getting into ferocious text time. This will not be a favorite for many, and I can't do anything about it because I didn't write it. It's not my book to write. It is my book to read and to share. Here is what the text says in Genesis chapter 3. We'll pick it up at verse 4, but we're really going to focus in on verse 5. Here's the serpent. "You won't die," the serpent said. Verse 5, "God knows that your eyes will be opened, for when you eat it, you will become just like God, knowing everything, both good and evil." Okay, "you won't die," that was lie number one. "You will become just like God" is a stemmed lie, is a portion of a lie, because they will have a similarity to God, but they will not be just like God. So therein lies where that thing is a problem. The big issue here is that the two sins that jump off the page are the unwillingness to be surrendered or submitted to God and the need to be equal. Now, in our society, we've got hundreds of political groups and thousands upon tens of thousands of politicians who scream about equality being something that's demanded. Absolutely, positively not in the scripture that way. Sorry, can't help you. At best, a Christian is just a servant of the Most High. When Jesus said, "You've done everything you're supposed to do," say we are unfaithful, unworthy servants. Boy, you don't hear that preached very often, do you? And everybody's, "Nope, got to be equal here, got to be equal here." It's like, nope, doesn't work that way. In fact, how can you be the greatest amongst you if you have the whole premise of Christian faith is to be the greatest, you have to be the biggest servant, which completely defies equality in its own, it just wrecks it. Not only are you not supposed to be equal, we're supposed to be serving one another. That's part of our DNA. Absolute lie. What Satan dropped in on the garden was, one, this form of lie, this direct lie saying you won't die, that was a lie. Their physical death began. Their spiritual death was immediate. Their emotional, psychological, and all those other deaths were in process. So that was lie number one. And then you'll be just like God, lie number two. As though that was something superbly important for them to want. They didn't create themselves. God created them. They didn't make earth. God created earth. How are they going to be equal with God since God made them? So he says to him, I want you to catch this really big, because there's going to be people that are going to despise this, and there's going to be people that think you're a racist, a bigot, a this, a that, whatever. I've been called everything all day long in every possible way. So what? Those people have no heaven to put me in. As we dump into this, we really understand it's going to shatter political correctness. It's going to absolutely obliterate wokeness, reparations, academics, politics, media, Hollywood, the woke cultural nuances. Satan tells Eve, you will become like God. So this, that first portion of that sin, not surrendering to God as the king of the universe. That's the number one thing of all. He's the king of the universe, not being an acknowledgement that you are but a citizenship, have a citizenship in the universe. Number two, equal with God. Equality in this context is an absolute sin. Adam and Eve, now don't misunderstand. I know I got a lot of people out there with a little sensitivity on this one. Adam and Eve were not equal to the animals. It is defined specifically when God makes Adam and Eve in his image. And he has them name the animals. You name what you are in charge of. And so he said, you're in charge of all the animals. You're the boss. You're the guy. And so this is what Adam and Eve were above the animals. And God was above Adam and Eve. And Satan tried to pervert that. You get that? It's like, uh-oh. And we're supposed to know our place. And look at the place Jesus told us to know. Be the servant. Humble yourself like a child. He said the Gentiles lord it over one another. Even the idea of everybody should just be equal doesn't work. It's not even true. Even in the marital covenant, the man has lead in certain aspects. The woman has lead in other aspects. By the way, she's the one who's supposed to manage the household. That's her job. So what I'm trying to say is it's just not even true. You can't have a functioning society if nobody's in the lead. Well, if nobody's in the lead, then I guess there's no government. Don't worry about it. It's so stupid. It's dense. That's all I'm going to say. All right, going back to the trip. I can do this for an hour, and I can't because I really will go off this because this is really, it's absurd. It's just absurd. Okay, let me just go back to this real quickly. The trivia question, because I don't want to go down that road. Here it is. Deacon Felix went to Samaria to preach the gospel. Deacon Felix, according to Acts chapter 8, verse 5, that is true or false? It is false. Deacon Felix, what are you talking about? You mean Stephen? You mean Philip? You mean all those people? It wasn't Deacon Felix. Stephen, you know, Philip, all those people? And it was Philip, just in case you want to know. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill. The David Spoon Experience.
So there's teaching in the church. Most of you, if you're familiar with the shepherding movement, just so you can know, Bob Mumford and Derek Prince, people who were influential in the church, came up with this idea of the shepherding movement, that the shepherd is responsible for the people, and because the shepherd is responsible for the people, the shepherd should have authority to help them make decisions in life. Initially, the idea is good in the sense of making good decisions, moral decisions, so on and so forth, but it quickly grew into abuse where people were making decisions about relationships, jobs, locations of living, how much they were giving, the whole nine yards, okay? Pastor Ken was a huge fan of the shepherding movement. He just didn't know it was called the shepherding movement. He just liked the control. So he would say to us, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. You can't speak against me. It's okay that you took down the rabbi, but you can't do that to me. I'm going to read you a scripture. I'm going to show you where the error is so that everybody can understand how deep the fallacy goes. This comes out of Psalm 105, and this is verse 8. And I'm going to show you something that a lot of people won't show you because they don't understand the word context. Verse 8 in Psalm 105, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, then confirmed it to Jacob, to Israel,
To who?
To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan and the portion of your inheritance, when they were only a few in people, very few, and strangers in it. And they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them, and he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed one and do my prophets no harm. In context, touch not my anointed ones and do my prophet no harm is all the people of Israel. And God was telling all these different Gentile nations, don't touch my people. Don't touch my people. You touch my people, you're going to be in trouble. Bad, bad, bad. Don't do that. I'll blow you up. I mean, this is like that kind of thing. And what the pastors have done is they've taken that verse out of context, even though it refers to the people of God. And you think, well, wait, 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 are you telling me it's not the leaders? Touch not my anointed one. Christ means anointed one. Christians is anointed ones. Specifically, that passage is about people who don't believe in God touching God's people. That's exactly what it's got nothing to do with a pastor by himself.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. And as with every penalty,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station. That's KAAM 770. I've only said that 3,000 times, and I still can't say it right.
It's not professional radio. It's just radio.
I can't. It's just hard to explain to people. Professional. Anyway. Here we are at the, like, we're already an hour deep. I just don't even, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. We have a trivia question for you. And then after the trivia question, we're going to send you to the website. Okay, so I already told you about the website real quickly before I do the trivia question. On the website, on there, if you go to the website, then you're going to see about halfway down, there's a new cover on the book that I'm re-releasing on the Jewish Christian. Plus, if you click on it, it'll take you to the other book, Broken for His Glory. You can order those if you want to. I would wait, but you can do it. If there's any problems, you let me know. I'm trying to get some finalizing done on a couple of sentences that needed to be reworked. But anyway, that being said, I am starting the project for doing Broken for His Glory, which is the one on spiritual abuse, on audio. We're starting tomorrow in the studio to do some of that. Okay, just to let you know, we've got all these arrangements made. Plus, we're going to be releasing the Jewish Christian probably even sooner on audio. So you'll have the opportunity to have audio on your phone, print, hard copy, soft copy, on your phone, whatever. Okay, so we're just doing all that kind of stuff. Additionally, when I do send you to the website, please don't forget about the giving, because giving's important. That's how we keep everything going. We're just doing the best we can to honor the Lord, to encourage one another, to bless one another. But if you can't give, do not feel guilty. Do not let the enemy use that. Just keep doing the best you can, doing what you are doing. Use the site. Use everything about it. Don't, and not even for a split second, don't hesitate to take advantage of everything and anything we're offering, because we want you to do that, okay? All right. Here's your triv question. This is a good one, and you should all get this. It's true or false. Your answer is in Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15. Jesus, true or false, was tempted just before he ascended into heaven. Jesus was tempted just before he ascended into heaven. True or false? Mark 16:15, if you think you know the answer. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Jesus was tempted just before he ascended into heaven. True or false? Mark 16:15. Now I'm going to send you up to the website and remind you the donation stuff, the books. Don't forget, if you've got a prayer request, put that information up there. It's free. Nobody tracks you. If it's a praise report, same exact thing. Plus, there's other cool stuff up there. Check out the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
That's right. You're not in Kansas anymore.
That poor dog.
Although you got to admit, one of the best lines in that movie, Toto 2? Yes, Toto 2. There's a lot of complex writing there. T-O.
Anytime I watch that movie, I think for how long ago it came out, the twister scene actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, they did a great ISM. You got to be amazed at some of that stuff. Some of that stuff, you know, it's a lot better than the original sci-fi movie where they show the moon and then there's a rocket that falls in the moon and its eye gets poked out. Okay. You know, I mean, they could have at least made a cheese, and then the cheese would have fallen. Okay, anyway. All right, somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Alan.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing great, David. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Just doing good. For a Monday, I have no complaints, and if I complained, it wouldn't help me anyway.
Yeah, nobody'd listen.
All right, my brother, let me set it up for you, and then you can answer it, okay? Let's set it up. All right, it's a true or false based on Mark 16:15. True or false, Jesus was tempted just before he ascended into heaven. True or false?
That's false.
That is false! You're right! That is exactly right. In fact, he prayed, blessed them, and while he was blessing them, while it was going on, he was ascending up to heaven, which I always thought was kind of weird because, so he's blessing them, and then does he like go, I bless you, you know, or something like that. It's like, I don't know how that went, but it's like, that's cool. I love it.
I think he was tempted in the garden before he started his ministry, wasn't it?
Well, he was tempted in the wilderness. He went through temptations there, plus in that temptation, and I always bring this up, in that temptation when he was in the wilderness, what one of the things that Satan did is he said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms, right? So Jesus didn't go, you don't have the authority. What Jesus did was recognize Satan was trying to offer a shortcut to the messiahship to avoid the pain. And it's like, no. We don't take a shortcut. We do the things God set before us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's a good one right there. So excellent job, brother. One. Excellent.
Well, we appreciate your blessing everybody and with your show, and just keep on doing what you're doing, buddy.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Excellente. Okay. Now let's get to this next section. Now, you know, people say, you don't talk about our show. Monday's our sin day because we're in Genesis. We've been in Genesis 3 for what, 8 weeks? Wait to hear this part. This is even worse. This is even worse. Okay, now we're at verse 6. Okay, we haven't been there for 8 weeks, 6 weeks. Now we're at verse 6 of Genesis 3. Here's what it is. So Satan has just said, God knows your eyes will be open when you eat it. You'll become just like God, knowing everything about good and evil. So this equality thing, which was, you know, lie. Verse 6. The woman was convinced that the fruit looked so fresh and delicious, and it would make her so wise. So she ate some. Ah, ha, ha. Right here. This is where you got to get this. Okay? All right. She was convinced by the lie. So now in our society, people talk about the big lie and this, the big lie. You know what the big lie is? That the big lie is that you can get to heaven apart from Christ. That's the big lie. The big lie is any denial that Jesus is Lord. The big lie is not recognizing that prayer is the only solution for this nation, and otherwise this nation will get swallowed up, because if it doesn't repent of its sin, it will get swallowed up like every other nation that commits sin. That's how it goes. Even Jerusalem, even Israel got swallowed up. They had mercy. God restored it. That's not the point we're dealing. What we're dealing with is that the lie is that all of this stuff can happen by man coordinating, doing, and being everything, using the same lie, God helps those who help themselves, which is also a lie. And it's just like, this is just ridiculous. And so here, Eve is convinced. And when people are convinced of a lie, everything looks different. Now, let me explain this, and I want to make sure you heard me talking last week, and I've mentioned it multiple times. Satan's tactic against the people of God is lies. He's the father of lies. When you're the father of lies, that means every lie that has come forward is your child. Get it? Every lie. So the only thing that defeats the lie is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Additionally, you know, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, so we got that. Truth. Truth defeats a lie. Got it. But when Eve became convinced of the lie, she saw things differently. And that's what happens to Christians, let alone to non-Christians. When you believe a lie, you see everything tainted. You want a perfect example in society today? People who see everything by race are the real racists. That's just the reality. Why? Because people who see things through Jesus Christ are the Christians. So this is like, just makes sense. Kind of hard to miss this. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line goes to this point. It's simple, okay? Eve was convinced the fruit looked fresh and delicious. It looked good. And it could also give her benefits. Almost sounds like a smoothie shake or something. It's like, oh, it looks good and it's healthy and stuff. It'll make me wise. And down the road she went. What we need to be aware of and careful in, and why you hear me on a regular basis going, be in the Word. What do we say? We say, get your BFN in the Word. People are like, oh, that's really offensive. Too bad. BFN stands for big fat nose. Nah, who cares? You got to be in the Word. You got to know what God has to say. The dude created the universe. The dude can write a book. Read it.
It's a really hard book to read.
Ever wonder why? Because it's spiritual warfare. Satan's not just going to go, oh, well, I'll just let everybody read as much as they want, and then they can beat me up all the time. That's not what he's going to do. That's not a good tactic. So you have to stand firm in the Word. She believed the lie, and then things look different. When we believe a lie, things look different. And it's a problem. She bought in and then was fully deceived. What I think happens to Christians, I'm just telling you what I'm not. They become a Christian, super happy in the beginning, and then they go through tougher periods as you go through what we call growing pains. I talked to my son about this the other day when the honeymoon period's over, and then you're going through growing pains. And the growing pains are difficult. And then Christians feel like, well, God might like maybe he really loved me when I first said yes, but maybe that love is not the same because now I'm seeing all this stuff that's inside of me and I'm seeing how bad I can really be and blah, blah, blah. And see, that's a lie because God knew everything about you before you said yes and still chose you and still loves you the same that he loved you before. He doesn't love you any less, doesn't like you any less. He doesn't think any less of you in any capacity. And to think so is to buy into the lie. And if you buy into that lie, you will see your spiritual life differently. And it won't be correct. You see how impacting that is? Like, wow, can't let that happen. Right, you can't let that happen. Bad, bad plan. You stand firm in the truth. Do not be convinced by the lie, whether it's directly from Satan or from one of his agents. The word of God is true. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. There you go. All right, we get back. We'll do our history and another triv question. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. Be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull-oney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad. A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this: millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope. Federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our last trivia question. Nothing sneaky here, like there was on the very first question. Jesus in Capernaum, well, Jesus was in Capernaum, he preached repentance. True or false? Matthew 4:13-17. When Jesus was in Capernaum, he preached repentance. Beginning of his ministry, preaching ministry. True or false? Matthew 4:13-17. If you think you know the answer, reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? It's all right. We're going to do a little bit of history. And
let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, a couple of things today. For somebody like myself, I like this particular one. 1877, on this day, the microphone was invented by Emily Berliner. So it's like, thank you, right?
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big one. 1902, the American Automobile Association is established. Okay, I'll leave that there. Here's the other cool stuff, though, because you know there's cooler stuff coming. Today is National Pound Cake Day. Oh, yes. Right? Is that good?
We love the food ones.
The food ones. National Snack Day. Do you have a favorite snack? I mean, I just like so many snacks. It's terrible. I mean, I'm a pretzel guy. I'm a cracker guy.
I like Doritos chips.
Oh, yeah. Noelle's like that.
Yep. Not sponsored, but I do like Doritos.
Yeah, that's right. Today is also Toy Soldier Day, which probably has to do with the toy soldiers you played with as a kid. I'm just going to go with that. Last thing I think is funny. Most people will not, but that's too bad. It is pretty funny. 1948 on this day, Howdy Doody for president. The puppet Howdy Doody announced on the Howdy Doody TV show that he's running for president of all kids of the United States. His campaign platform included two Christmas holidays, fewer school days, and free admission to the circus and rodeo. His sidekick, Buffalo Bob, offered to send an I'm for Howdy campaign button to children who sent in a self-addressed stamped envelope. They ordered 10,000 buttons, but within a few weeks had received 250,000 requests.
I was going to say, he's got my vote.
I mean, right? Who would not vote for that? Okay.
It's not a have a bad day day?
No, it's not have... It's coming. Wait, it's in route. You're going to fight. You're going to go, really? Is this the day? I'm going to be like, yep, it's today. Jesus in Capernaum preached repentance in Capernaum. True or false? Matthew chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, first part of his preaching ministry. What did he start off with? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What a flyby show. I just can't even believe it. Even myself, I was like, what happened? All right, let me go back to this last part here and... we're not going to do the naked part or the Israel will do that next week, but I want to, don't want you to miss this one part in verse 6. The woman was convinced the fruit looked so fresh and delicious and it would make her wise. So she ate some of the fruit. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. Then he ate it too. That's verse 6. In the New King James, that it says he was with is what it says. And so the understanding here is there's a little bit of a goofiness, and I'm going to take the time to just address it real fast. There's a couple of errant teachings in the church about Adam was responsible because he didn't protect Eve. Eve is a total loser because she's the one that ruined everything. And it even says so in the New Testament, which it doesn't say it quite like that, so nice try. Here's really what took place, okay? Adam and Eve were a unit at this point. There was nothing that would have separated them. There was no sin. There was nothing of division within their framework. Adam was close enough where Eve could take the fruit and give it to him. Was he right next to her? Sounds weird because he doesn't have any voice input in the conversation. Kind of tough for me to buy into that. Some theologians teach, though, that Adam was somewhere on the North Pole. He was sledding. Skiing down Copper Mountain or something, and that just would seem just bizarre. He's close enough that she could simply bring the fruit, and in bringing the fruit, they ate it. It wasn't, though, it says that Eve tried to convince Adam. It wasn't, though, that they had some kind of argument. Boy, if you were looking for a place to have an argument, I guess it would have been there. They were simpatico. They were connected. And she said, look how good that looks. And it makes us wise. And then the snake said, we'll be like God. And Adam went, okay. Was that a dumb thing to do? Yes. But then again, it was dumb for Eve to talk to the snake in the first place. And it was dumb for Eve to sit there and tell about it's just this one fruit. You can't have this one fruit. It's like she wasn't sitting there saying, well, we can have any other fruit we want. So she was looking at the glass half empty, not talking about what they could do, but about what they couldn't do. What I'm trying to point out to you is that this is a mutual problem. Definitively, when you get into doctrinal statements, it is not the same element. That's talking about teachings and doctrinal positions. But we're not discussing that right now. What we're discussing is the two of them in the garden, and then Eve's like going, does look good. Make me wise too, huh? Hey, Adam, look. Looks good. It makes us wise. And if we eat it, we'll be like God. What do you think? All right, let's do it. I mean, and you can come up with all the scenarios, but it doesn't communicate it that way in Scripture. It just simply says she gave it to him and he ate. There is no resistance offered by Adam, is what I'm trying to get at. Next week, we're going to spend a a little more time on what happened. And what happened, in essence, is they lost their innocence. So I want to point this out because we were talking about abuse and spiritual abuse and physical abuse and marital abuse and spousal abuse and parental abuse and, quite frankly, children abuse, in the sense of children abusing parents. And I've seen situations like that too, so don't tell me it doesn't happen. What happens in these things is all innocence is lost. And when innocence is lost, like the sanctity of marriage, or the trust that somebody has with an authoritative figure spiritually, there is the devastation of a world crashing down inside or around a person. It's what happens. What I cannot let you miss is that in Scripture, Jesus is declared to be the second Adam. And the paradise that was lost was restored through Jesus Christ. And innocence can be restored by the healing hand of God. Okay? All right. Jesus in Capernaum preached repentance first, true or false? True. Jesus' first message was on repentance. There you go. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, he reached down and saved me. Purchase my freedom.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.